Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star zero. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.
Hey, what's up, guys? John Sin here. Just letting you know we have a 5-minute countdown till we're going to be starting the call. Hey guys, just a reminder, 4 minutes, we're gonna get started in 4 minutes. Two more minutes. One more minute, and we will be getting started. Okay, guys, it's 6 p.m., so I'm going to start now, and we will be ready in just a couple seconds to start revealing the complete guide to sexual framing. All right. Let's talk about everything you need to know about sexual framing. The first thing we have to talk about, obviously, is what are sexual frames? So frames, in my definition that we're going to be using throughout this call, frames define the interactions. They are the underlying meaning beneath the interaction. So sexual frames are going to be underlying meanings that we're going to set up that work towards the overall goal of us and the girl having sex. So when you're setting sexual frames, you're going to be setting frames that define the interaction in a way that makes it normal and natural and very, very comfortable for the woman to get sexual with you right away. These things we're going to be talking about are going to be used through a couple of different devices, but the overall point is we're shaping behaviors. What happens with people is people generally have very malleable frames. What that means is that if you tell a person they're one way and it's complimentary, meaning it flatters our ego and we want to believe that we're cool and we have that characteristic, we're going to accept that. And then the principle of commitment and consistency, which we talked about on the last call, kicks in, and women and people in general are going to be consistent once those frames are set. Meaning, if you tell a woman that she's one way, and that one way is conducive towards getting her into bed quickly, and she accepts it, she doesn't reject it or break the frame, then you've now set that frame, and you're moving along with that as an accepted definition of herself, or you, or the two of you together. And so we'll talk about all that stuff in this call. And the great thing about sexual frames is that once you get rolling with them, they build a lot of momentum. Sexual frames build upon each other. And in this audio, I'm going to tell you exactly how to build frames in a specific way that allows you to have these frames kind of morph and shift onto each other and build stronger and stronger frames. Because you'll see the frames we're setting, they do a really good job of opening up a place where the objections to sex are no longer there. It's been described to people watching me do stuff like this as like a spider web where you just basically, everything the girl does buys more and more into the frames when you get good at framing things sexually and framing her, you, and the two of you and the interaction in a nature that it makes sense. And you'll see what these things are, whether it's telling a girl she's independent or, you know, framing her as someone who's in control of her sex life and doesn't get cock blocked, or, you know, framing her as someone who's sexually aggressive. There's a lot of things and a lot of thought went into this, years and years of thought. When I first started coming up with this material, the only three frames we had that came from my buddy Captain Jack were she's sexually aggressive, we're non-judgmental, and both of us are good at keeping secrets. And now there's 14 frames that we're going to go through in this call with word-for-word descriptions of the routines, how to set them, and a general idea of which frames build on the other ones and what order you're going to be setting them in. So with all that said, let's get right into it. When does sexual framing begin? So there's a short answer and a long answer based on your experience level. The short answer is after you have attraction. You don't want to start using the sexual framing material in the beginning because it's not going to hook as well. It's not going to be very interesting or engaging or emotionally stimulating or any of those things that build sexual attraction. That's why the last audio that we had was on sexual attraction. Because if you can't build sexual attraction, then setting sexual frames isn't really going to help. So after you have sexual attraction, during the kind of qualification and comfort parts of a pickup, that's when it's going to happen. Now, the longer answer is that you should try to sexually frame when you think you can get away with it. So if you have a sense that maybe this girl is really into you, or you have a sense that this particular girl is really sexual, or you have an idea that, you know, for some reason you just think you can get away with throwing some sexual framing out there, try it. Experiment with it, but don't be surprised if it creeps girls out, especially if you don't have that good of social intelligence and social calibration. If you want to be safe with it, after you have attraction, when you can tell the girl likes you, that's when it's time to sexually frame. But if you're trying to get better and you want to improve how fast you get laid and stuff like that, you can try it a little earlier. But until you're comfortable with the material, I say wait till after attraction. The real truth, though, is that you're going to kind of have to go to Hard Knocks University on sexual framing. You will have to creep some girls out by being overly sexual in order to learn to calibrate and so that you know where the lines are. Because you can get incredibly sexual with a lot of women very quickly, and other women you can't. So learning how to differentiate between those two types of girls and learning kind of when it's appropriate to use this stuff and when it isn't is something that has to be learned in the real world. There's no amount of training or practice or anything like that that's actually going to teach you how and when to sexually frame. You're just going to have to go out there and try it on a regular basis. Okay, I want to talk about the model for applying sexual frames. So sexual frames are going to be applied to the you, her, us model. Little bit about the you, her, us model if you haven't learned from me before. Basically, the you, her, us model is a model of conversation, meaning that once you've started a conversation with a group or an individual girl you're attracted to, there's only three topics of conversation. That's you, her, and us. So you're going to be talking about yourself, talking about her, talking about the two of you in some sort of role play or fun or future situation or commonalities, stuff like that. So sexual frames fall right into this model. There are going to be sexual frames I'm going to be teaching you today that apply to you. These are going to be things like grounding stories. Grounding stories are stories that demonstrate your personality, give a glimpse into your background, how you came to be who you are, and provide a woman with further clues about how you're going to act in the future. Also things like characteristics to demonstrate. Talking about how you're a certain type of person or a certain way is a good way to set sexual frames. Then we're going to have sexual frames that apply to her. These are going to be characteristics you want to compliment and qualify the woman on. Things like being independent, going for what she wants, being sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to. We're not going to say that we're like that in every case, but we're going to say she's like that. This is going to shape the way she behaves and start to build momentum to build increasingly and increasingly sexual frames that allow her to be comfortable exploring her sexuality. And lastly, there's going to be us. And that's characteristics that the two of us have in common that make us sexually and romantically compatible. The us stuff is where a lot of chemistry and compatibility is going to really be discovered. Because a lot of the time, as you start to experiment with this stuff more and more, and with some of the exercises I'm going to give you guys at the end of this call, you're going to find that you start to become more and more like the person that you frame yourself to be, and you start to learn more and more how to frame things that are more and more authentic about who you are and what kind of girls you want as you go along. So there's a lot of good stuff that happens there. Now, what I want to talk about next is the four framing devices. As I said earlier, there's going to be four basic ways that we're going to be setting sexual frames. The first one is stories. Stories are going to range from sexual stories, like we talked about during the sexual attraction module, to stories about a friend, to stories with a metaphor. But we're going to tell stories to set frames and demonstrate characteristics about ourselves and the girl that are going to be attractive. Next, we have what's known as compliment, statement of intent, release. These are compliments. You're going to compliment the girl on things that she wants to be complimented on that also happen to build frames for same-night lays and quick sexual encounters. Then we're going to have bait-hook real-release rapports. And bait-hook real-release rapports are the classic mystery model for using qualification, I added the rapport question, and I'll teach you how to use those exactly to set sexual frames as well. And lastly, double binds, which are an NLP influence persuasion technique that basically forces a person to choose between two acceptable frames for your purposes. So let's go a little bit more in detail on each of these devices, because understanding these devices is going to be really, really critical for the 14 sexual frames when I start giving you the routines, you know, in a few minutes, because you're going to need to understand which one of the devices each one of these works with and why. So sexual framing stories are generally going to fall into one of two categories. We talked last time in the sexual attraction section about sexual storytelling. Sexual storytelling definitely falls into that as well, but you're going to do that a little earlier. What you're going to do when you're sexually framing with storytelling is you're going to tell grounding stories, which these stories are going to set the frames about us and give the girl background information on how we're going to act later. So when we're grounding, we're giving them information about us that paints us in the light we want to be seen as, non-judgmental, sexually comfortable, confident, et cetera, et cetera. So these grounding stories are stories from your development or anecdotes about your growing up or personality quirks and flaws that allow the girl to see who you are and give you a base to start framing her later on and to set the frames that we need to set right here. Then we have metaphor stories, and metaphor stories exist to set a frame or teach the girl something related to a frame. These are often going to be stories about a friend or something that happened to me that made me realize that I wanted to be a little different in my ways that I deal with things or that made me come to some sort of life lesson. Metaphor stories are really powerful because you can convey a lot of very heavy information, get a lot of vulnerability, and get a lot of emotional investment into your metaphor stories. So I'll talk about those as they come up with our frames. The second device is the compliment/standards framing, which is your compliment statement of intent release. Compliment framing sets up the frame by complimenting on the woman on how we want her to act. So we're going to give her a compliment that fits one of the sexual frames we want to set. Like I said before, people want to believe good things about themselves. So if you compliment on a woman on a type of behavior she demonstrated or on a intuition or hunch you have about her and she likes you, she's going to be really, really happy to accept that compliment. And then what we want to do is we want to escalate and then release the tension. So compliments are really good if you then use them as momentum to escalate and then back off your escalation. So you're going to escalate using a statement of intent. A statement of intent is literally exactly what it sounds like. You're going to declare some sort of romantic or sexual intent for the girl. Things like, I'm hitting on you, you're sexy, I want to make out with you, I'm totally trying to get in your pants, that kind of stuff. And then immediately before the girl can react, we're going to release with a non sequitur tease. Something like, too bad you're such a dork. And the purpose that exists is that we're going to put a little push-pull there, right? We're now using the compliment as a complex kind of push-pull where we're going to get the girl to accept our statement of intent, but then she's not going to get freaked out by it because we're going to release. So there's nothing for her to object to. Remember with statements of intent, from the last lesson, statements of intent are always in the future. You never give her anything to reject right then. Like, you would never say, I want to kiss you right now. You would say, I'm thinking about kissing you, but I know that's not appropriate. Get away from me. Right? If there's nothing for her to reject, then you just keep rolling and gaining momentum. Okay, the next part of compliment standards framing is standards framing. Standards framing is great because it implies a relationship and gives the girl a reward for framing herself. This is where you're going to ask questions that you would only ask if there was some sort of romantic or dating intent behind it. Things like, you're not the jealous type, right? you're not a dramatic girl, right? You're not a typical San Diego party girl, right? Things where by asking, the very act of asking the question, if the girl is not interested in you, she'll reject you with some sort of kind of, you know, I have a boyfriend or something like that, or I'm not available. But if she accepts stuff like this, you're now rolling towards very, very big amounts of compliance, because girls just don't answer those kind of questions, that kind of direct, I have standards and I'm looking for this type of girl question with guys they're not interested in. Next, we have bait, hook, reel, release, rapport. So real quickly, I'll go through the model of bait, hook, reel, release, rapport. This is a qualification mechanism which gives us a great way to reward girls for accepting our frames. There's going to be different kinds of hoops. There are small hoops, medium hoops, and large hoops. For the sake of sexual framing, we're going to focus just on small hoops, which are positive female stereotypes that are yes or no questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to bait. And when we bait, we're going to ask the girl to kind of give us something about herself that we can work with. All right, so I might say something like, are you a good friend? The hook is when she answers. If she answers in the affirmative, she qualifies herself, we reel her in with a compliment. We go, oh, great. I love girls who are really good friends, because I think that the way you treat your friends is like a really clear image into how you treat people in general. And so if a girl has really close, loyal friends, then I know she's like a good person. I don't trust girls who don't have female friends, right? That's my reel. That's my compliment. Then, if I need to, you don't always have to release. The release is only if the girl gets uncomfortable. I'll again use a non sequitur tease. I hate you. You suck. And then I'll ask a rapport question. I'll be like, okay, so how long have you been friends with your best friend? And then when she answers that, I'll talk about my best friend, because when you do rapport, remember, you ask a rapport question and then you answer your own question. So if she doesn't answer the question, she's like, oh, I don't know, or she starts to think, answer your own question first. The last framing device that we're going to talk about is known as a double bind. Double binds are questions or statements which result in the person accepting a frame no matter how they answer. A typical double bind women will use on you is the statement, are you a player? Because if you say yes, then you're qualifying yourself. You're like, oh, I'm so cool, I'm such a player, I'm trying to impress you. And if you say no, then you're also trying to qualify yourself, because you're like, no, I'm not like that. You know, I'm a nice guy, I'm not a player like that. And now you've qualified yourself either way, and you've bought into the frame no matter what. So double binds are amazingly powerful, because they can make girls qualify to either any type of image that you want them to have. So we'll talk about double binds a couple of times when we get to the frames. My favorite double bind came when I was living in San Diego, where I would ask girls, are you a typical San Diego party girl, right? Because what would happen is if they say yes, they're like, I'm like, oh, cool, I love to party too. You know, I hate girls who don't go out and like aren't willing to like get into mischief. If she says no, I'm like, yeah, I really don't like to party either. Like, I like girls who stay home and watch DVDs. So either way, I get her to qualify, and I can start to build on my frames. So that's the whole point of a double bind. All right, now let's talk about the 14 sexual frames before we get into the specific routines that I'm going to teach you to set them in a normal, awesome fashion. Number one, the first sexual frame we're going to set, adventurous. Obviously, the more adventurous a girl sees herself, the more she's going to be likely to leave a bar with a guy and go on this crazy adventure. Number two, spontaneous. Again, the more spontaneous of a self-image a girl accepts, the more she views herself as someone who does things on the whim, the easier it's going to be to get her to go home with you. Independent. Again, if a girl views herself as independent, she's going to be more likely to make her own decisions. Sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to. Remember, it's not just sexually aggressive. It's sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to, because we've already built attraction, and if she's sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to and she's attracted to us, it only makes sense that she's going to become more sexually aggressive. We're going to we're going to break her down into an emotional or physical type. This is a really important part of the seduction because it's going to tell you how to seduce the girl. We're going to frame her as being good at keeping secrets and ourselves because women like to do slutty things, but they don't want to have a reputation for being a slut. So being good at keeping secrets is important. We're going to frame her as decisive. The more decisive someone is, the more they make decisions. She's not going to hem and haw and have to ask her friend's opinion and do this, that, or the other. Decisive. Goes for what she wants. She's someone who, when she wants something, she doesn't wait for it to happen. She goes out and gets things for herself. So if she wants you, she's going to go for it. Doesn't get cock-blocked. This is a new one, but this is one that really is important, especially for nightclubs and bars. It won't get weird. One of the things that women think about when they're making sexual decisions is whether or not you're going to get weird. That girl may not want a relationship. She may have a boyfriend. She needs to know that you're not going to get all needy and weird if she sleeps with you. Non-judgmental. Right? The less judgment there is, the less she has to worry about her reputation, whether or not you'll respect her in the morning. Doesn't care what her friends think. That's another really important one, especially for bars and clubs and group situations. You need her to not care what her friends think so that she doesn't get judged or she doesn't care about the getting judged. Trust herself. And lastly, has a good sense for people. She understands people really well. She knows when she meets someone if they're a good person or a bad person. And we'll talk about that a little later. So those are the 14 sexual frames. They take care of a lot of the objections to sex, just in getting them set. If you can get a woman accepting that she, you, and her, and the two of you are all of these things, it'll take you a long, long way. All right, so let's move in now to setting the sexual frames. And we're going to go through each one of these 14, and I'm going to give you word-for-word ways to do this. So the first one is we're going to frame her as adventurous. And for this, we're going to use a bait-hook real-release rapport early on in the conversation. So it'll go something like this. Be like, hey, I have to ask you this. Are you adventurous? She goes, yeah, I'm super adventurous. You go, great. I love adventurous people because, and you reel her in with a compliment. I love adventurous people because I always like to do new things and I always like to try things that I haven't done before. So it's really important to me that people have that like open-mindedness and are willing to do stuff. Like that's awesome. And now a release. Too bad you're such a dork, right? So again, are you adventurous? She says, yeah. You go, that's great. I love adventurous people because, and give your own personal reason that you would like an adventurous girl. And then the release, any non sequitur tease. Too bad you're such a dork. You suck. I hate you. All right, so that's your first sexual frame. You get that one set, then you want to move on a few minutes later, maybe 3 or 4 minutes later, 5. You're going to now throw out another frame, and we're going to use spontaneous. And again, we're going to frame her as spontaneous. So this is your second frame, and it's another bait hook reel release. All right, it's going to be very, very similar to the last one. The bait, are you spontaneous? Hook, she says yes. You reel her in, awesome. I like people who are spontaneous because I'm totally the type of person who like goes to Vegas on a Friday night at 10 p.m. Because, like, for me, planning is such a pain in the ass. So it's awesome that you, like, are the type of person who just does things on the spur of a moment. You suck. And release, right? Are you spontaneous? Second frame. Frame number 3 is another frame that we're going to frame her as. And we're going to frame her as independent. This is a good third or fourth qualifier to use. You may want to throw in a non-sexual frame qualifier. I definitely would, like a medium hoop or something. But this is a good one after that to get back on the sexual frames. And the mechanism we're going to use here is the compliment, statement of intent, release. So I like to frame these compliments around things she said or did, right? So I'll say something like, you know, when you said that you moved out here on your own from Iowa, like that tells me that you're a really independent person. And I love independent girls. Like nothing is sexier to me than a girl who has her own life and doesn't want to like make me the center of their world. There's my compliment. Now my statement of intent.
And I mean that even though I'm totally hitting on you. I'm escalating the interaction. I'm getting her to accept me hitting on her. Remember we talked about that in the commitment ladders in sexual attraction? Here it is again. And to make sure that she doesn't get uncomfortable or say, I have a boyfriend, I'm going to immediately release it by saying, I don't like you. So, again, one more time, I'll say, you know, because you came out to this bar by yourself, I can tell that you're an independent girl. I love independent girls who have their own lives and don't want to make me the center of the universe. And I mean that even though I'm totally hitting on you. I do not like you. Independent. The next frame is sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to. So for this frame, we're going to use a game. So you can play this game anytime, but again, you want to make it maybe your third or fourth frame. You don't want to throw this out right away. You want to build up to it by getting some momentum, because sometimes it doesn't hit, and when it doesn't hit, you've wasted the best way to set the sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to frame. So let's introduce it. I'll go through it, and then I'll break it down for you guys. So the first thing I'll do is I want to use a little bit of bait and a little bit of a challenge to set this up. I don't want to just be like, let's do the strawberry fields test. I want to be like, you know what? You're really cool, but I'm not quite sure about you yet. I have to give you my cool girl test. All right, what test am I going to give you? I'm going to give you the strawberry fields test. Okay, so imagine you're walking down the street and you come to a fence. How high is the fence? And she'll answer. And then I'll go, okay, how many strawberries would you eat? You climb the fence, now you're in a strawberry field. How many strawberries do you eat? And she'll answer. And no matter what she says here, I'm going to shake my head and smirk like she just said something bad. And then I'll go, what about the farmer? The phrasing of that is really important. What about the farmer? Not what would you do to the farmer? Not anything like that. What about the farmer? And then I'll tease her a little bit. I'll be like, all right, are you ready for what all that means? And she'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, absolutely nothing. I was just messing with you. And then she'll be like, I'll be like, no, seriously. Your fence is your goals and ambitions. So you set the bar however high she set it. You're going to give the same interpretation literally every time with strawberry fields. You're not here to psychoanalyze the girl. You're here to get laid. So your fence represents your goals and ambitions. So you set the bar high, but not so high that you can't achieve your goals. That's really good. Your strawberries, on the other hand, are how much you like to have sex. You said six. Most people only say one or two. If she says one or two, you go, one or two. Most people only take a bite. If she says none, you go, most people don't even climb the fence. Again, the point is, she is sexually aggressive, right? You would have me chained to the bed needing Gatorade. Like, I have to be careful around you when the lights go off. And the farmer is society's rules and restrictions about sex and sexual relationship. And you said, most of the time girls say, fuck the farmer, or I pay him, or what farmer? And you said, what farmer? So I have to be careful. My mom warned me about girls like you. Right? And she'll be laughing and agreeing and going along with it. So let's break it down. Question number one, after you bait it with what you want to bait it with, that you seem really cool, but I want to give you my cool girl test. That really does make a difference in how it goes down. So question number one, you're walking down the street, you come to a fence, how high is the fence? Question number two, you climb the fence, now you're in a strawberry field, how many strawberries would you eat? And question number three, what about the farmer? If she's like, what farmer? You can just be like, the farmer whose strawberry field it is. But the point is, you want her to gloss over that last question and be like, there is no farmer. Because we're going to link that to society's rules and restrictions about sex and sexual relationships. So the interpretation, her fence is her goals and ambitions. You set the bar high, but not high enough, you can't achieve it. Strawberries represent your sex life. They are how much you like to have sex. Most people say less than you. You would have me chained to the bed needing Gatorade. And the farmer is society's rules and restrictions about sex and sexual relationships. And she said whatever she said, which means, you know, she doesn't really care about that. Okay? So that's strawberry fields. That's a great way to isolate. It's a great way to start setting that sexually aggressive frame. It's a great way to escalate the interaction. But you don't want to use it as your first frame for most guys. You want to set a couple before that. Next, we have good at keeping secrets. And this frame, we're going to frame both of us as, right? We're going to frame her and me as someone who's good at keeping secrets. And the device we're going to use is the story. So this story is basically a story. I call it my discretion story, or, you know, don't kiss and tell story. So I'll tell you my story, true story. So I'll be like, have you ever been in a drama bubble? Yeah, my friend Caitlin came out tonight, and a couple weeks ago we got drunk and made out, like, not a big deal. And she's really not my type. I mean, she's a cute girl, but she's just not, she's a little too much of a party girl for me. And last night we all, you know, went out again, and she was telling, like, two different people that we slept together. And I just think that's so not classy, because, like, I do not kiss and tell. Like, what is her, like, why would she do that? You know, like, who cares? What goes on between two people is nobody's business. Don't you think? And that little don't you think at the end is a qualifier. When she agrees with you, that's the frame locking into place. When she qualifies and she agrees and she buys into those frames, again, which most people are going to do. No girls are going to be like, oh, yeah, I love spreading people's business in the streets. I'm not good at keeping secrets. If you want to go one step further, you can be like, so if we ever have any, like, if we ever do any naughty things later, we have to pinky swear that we're going to keep secrets. And then you can pinky swear with the girl. That's a really powerful frame. That one alone can get you laid. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about is physical or emotional typing. So what we're going to use here is a double bind. The reason that we're going to do this is we need to separate girls into types to elicit their seduction strategies. Physical girls are going to need more touching. They're going to need things described more in tactile, like, physical feelings, you know, things like hair pulling, stuff like that, things like whispering, body sensations, all that kind of stuff. Emotional types, on the other hand, are going to need things that are described emotionally, connecting, rapport, chemistry, compatibility, feeling like there's a lot in common, like things are above their control. So we're going to use a double bind here. And the double bind goes something like this. You say, you know, I always find it interesting when I meet a new person that people are either, like, physical or emotional. Like, I'm definitely, like, a physical person. Like, I love exercising. It's, like, my stress relief. And I find that, like, for me, like, a good massage relaxes me more than, like, sleeping or watching TV or anything like that. Like, what would you say you are? And now she's going to pick one, right? And so now what we're going to do is we're going to use a cold read, and we're going to start to try to elicit her seduction strategy, right? We're going to now take that to a level like using the phrase, so when you're with someone. So let's say I say that to a girl. I go, you know, I find most people are either, like, physical or emotional, and you can kind of tell right away from just interacting. Like, people can tell I'm real physical, you know, like, I really like working out. And, again, you can kind of tailor it to your own needs. But the idea is you frame yourself as a physical or emotional type, whichever one you want to be, whichever one you think the girl might be, if you want to get really tactical with it. But then, so once she frames herself as either physical or emotional, you're going to say something like this. You're going to go, so let's say she says she's physical. Say, so when you're with someone, you probably need to feel chemistry with that person you're with. And that's probably how you know you're attracted to this person. And you probably find an emotional connection kind of comes after that feeling of chemistry. Now notice we're not saying physical chemistry, right? We're using kind of a physical describer word that she's going to know what that feels like in terms of body sensations. Now, if she's emotional, I'm going to basically say the same thing, just with interlocking the emotional type. So I'll say, so when you're with someone, you probably need to feel a deep connection with that person you're with. And that's how you really know you're attracted to this person. In fact, you probably need to feel really comfortable with this person to let go and enjoy that connection. Right. And now I can start to do a whole lot of things, right? She's going to respond. I can start to frame off of that. I could say, you know, maybe she gets really aggressive once she's comfortable. Or I can say that, you know, when you have that physical chemistry with someone, you find that the emotional connection kind of falls into place, like, because the physical sensations are so strong that you almost like lust for that person. So there's a lot of good places you can go. So again, double bind. Let's go through it one more time. Something like, you know, I find that most people are either physical or emotional. Or I was reading this article that said that people are either physical or emotional. And I think that I'm like a physical person because, like, for me, I work out to, like, do stress relief and, like, massages relax me more than anything. And I always am touching things and trying to get a feel for them. Like, would you say you're a physical or emotional type of person? So she says physical. So when you're with someone, you probably need to feel chemistry with that person you're with. And that's how you know you're attracted to this person. And you probably find that an emotional connection comes only after you feel some sort of physical chemistry. Now, let's say she says she's an emotional type. I'll go, so when you're with someone, you probably need to feel a deep connection with that person you're with. And that's how you know you're really attracted to this person. In fact, you need to feel really comfortable with this person to let go and enjoy that connection. Makes sense? Moving on. Next one. Decisive. Decisive is a fun one. This is a good one. It's a little more lighthearted. We're going to use a double bind again. So you don't want to back-to-back the physical or emotional type and being decisive because they're both double bind. So you might want to slide strawberry fields between those two or mix and match a little bit more. So we're going to frame her as decisive. You can frame yourself as decisive, too. A lot of the time, if you have a lot of attraction and she's qualifying herself a lot, it's a good idea to use the go-first principle and frame yourself first just to see if it'll take better. So I might say something like, I'm like a really decisive person. Like when me and my friends are going out, it drives me insane when they can't decide where to eat at a restaurant or, you know, where we're gonna, what club we're going to go to. Like I like to just make decisions. I love decisive people. Are you decisive or do you suck? So here we're placing the girl into an awkward kind of situation, right? Because most women are not decisive. The reason that I had to pick this was when I was trying to use it as a bait hook real release rapport or a compliment SOI release, a lot of the time the frame would get broken because girls just don't see themselves as decisive. So by giving her the other option of sucking, a lot of the time, even just jokingly, the girl is going to accept it, and that leads to passive acceptance of the frame, which later on, if she's like, oh, I should find my friends, you're like, you're decisive. You said you were decisive. Let's go. And the commitment and consistency principle then kicks in. So that's a really good one. Are you decisive or do you suck? Next, goes for what you want. Okay, so this is another one where you're going to frame both of us as someone who goes for what they want. So we're going to use a compliment SOI release, and we should probably use a grounding story of some type before that, right? So it would be like grounding story, compliment, statement of intent, release. So I might say something like, you know, for me, it's really important to just try to get things that I want. You know, like I can deal with failing, but I really can't deal with, like, not going for it. And I find that, like, the people who just settle are the most boring people in the world. There's my grounding story, why I came to the decision that I like people who go for what they want. Now the compliment. You totally seem like the type of girl who goes after what she wants and, like, always gets it. I love people that are ambitious like that. Statement of intent, and I mean that even though I'm thinking about kissing you. Release, you are trouble. So let's go through it one more time. From the top, this time I won't label the things as we go. You know, I have always kind of been the type of person who goes after things that they want. Like, I just think you have no chance of getting what you want if you don't go after it. And people who settle are really, really boring. So you totally seem like the type of girl who goes after what she wants and, like, almost always gets it. Like, I love people that are ambitious like that. And I mean that even though I'm totally thinking about kissing you. You are trouble. That is inappropriate. goes for what she wants. Let's move on. Next one, doesn't get cock-blocked. So this is a really good one. This one I came up with recently because you always have the problem of cock-blocking when it comes to clubs, and sometimes girls will be attracted enough to you that they'll actually get rid of the girls for you. And so I figured, okay, if I could just tell a story and get the girl to accept that that's, like, useful and that she's, like, the type of girl who, you know, wouldn't get cock-blocked if she wants something because she's independent and she goes for what she wants, right? You see how these frames build upon each other? If you haven't set the goes for what she wants and the independent frame, then trying to set the doesn't get cock-blocked frame is going to have – it's going to be a lot more difficult because you haven't already gotten her to accept two characteristics that go with that. So with this, we're going to make sure we set those two frames at least, and then we're going to tell a story. So I tell a story about how she reminds me of my friend Megan, who always gets cock-blocked and never gets to do anything fun, right? So I'll say something like, you know, it's really funny. You totally remind me of my friend Megan, and she is, like, the prettiest girl I know, and she always goes out and always meets these guys, and she, like, hasn't gotten laid in like, a year because she always gets cock-blocked because, like, she doesn't ever want to, like, leave her friends or anything like that, and her friends are so bad about, like, guys. Like, they just hate all guys. They're just really, like, negative and bitchy. And so she never gets to do anything fun, and she's always complaining about it. I told her I would take her out and, like, specifically not cock block her. Like, I'll be like, okay, well, I'm leaving now. You know, like, I could totally see, like, you're going to get cock blocked later tonight. Your friends are definitely going to come back, you know. And at that point, most girls will push back and say that they don't get cock blocked. This is kind of like the pushback idea that we talked about in sexual attraction. When you use pushbacks, you get girls to accept the opposite, right? You tell them they seem one way that they don't want to be, and they push back against it. So again, story about my friend who always gets cock-blocked, never gets to do anything fun. Make sure you make the other friends really negative and judgmental and bitchy, because again, you set non-judgmental frames, right? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Storytelling to set the frame that she doesn't get cock-blocked. Next one, it won't get weird. Now, this is one that we're going to frame ourselves and kind of her as well, but not explicitly. So it won't get weird is really important because one of the biggest reasons girls don't sleep with people that they're attracted to is that guys are really needy and weird. So if you can demonstrate that it won't get weird, that you understand the kind of quote-unquote unwritten codes of one-night stands and stuff, you go pretty far. So we're going to tell a story here. And we're going to tell a story about a female friend who, you know, is promiscuous and awesome and had a weird one-night stand. And then we're going to talk a little about how people take sex too seriously. So this is my Cindy story. Well, you know, it's really funny. I was talking to my friend Cindy this morning. And she had the funniest thing. Like, I just thought about this because we just met. And she's like Samantha from Sex and the City. Like, she is, like, super unapologetic about the fact that she loves sex and that she, you know, doesn't feel weird about who she has sex with or when. And she took some guy home last night. And I guess they, you know, whatever. And he woke up this morning and was like, he woke her up with, like, kissing her neck. And he's like, oh, my God, it's so good to finally have a girlfriend. And she told him to go. Like, she was like, okay, you have to leave now. And, like, threw his clothes at him and tried to get him out, which is hysterical. But, like, people get so weird after sex, you know? Like, people take sex way too seriously, especially in America, you know? Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's kind of just gymnastics. So, again, main points of that story, female friend who's promiscuous and awesome, one of your favorite female friends, had a one-night stand, which she does all the time, totally normal. And then the guy got weird, and you think people take sex way too seriously, and that getting weird after sex is weird, for lack of a better word. And I think I just broke the Guinness Book World Record for using weird in a sentence. Next frame, non-judgmental. This is a really, really good one. This one is super important. You actually should set this one a little earlier. This should probably be like your fourth or fifth frame that you set, and we're going to frame us as non-judgmental. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a grounding story to frame ourselves, right? And then we're going to use a compliment statement of intent release. So might say something like, you know, one of the big things with me is that I don't really judge, because I just think you should live your life for yourself and not really worry about what other people do. Like, nobody's really worrying about you all that much, so there's no point to worry and try to judge what other people are doing. And, like, for me, that was a big thing because my brother is gay. So, like, growing up, I had to be really non-judgmental because I loved my brother, and he was, like, you know, the thing that boys get called when other guys are trying to mess with them. Like, I can tell you, compliment, are really non-judgmental. That's, like, a big requirement to be my friend, because I, like I said, I don't really judge, and I don't take kindly to people judging me. And I'm, you know, that's really awesome that you're non-judgmental. And I mean that even though I'm trying to get in your pants. Statement of intent. Release. You must have driven your last boyfriend crazy. Okay, so again, this time without the accompanying commentary. You know, one of the big things for me was that growing up, I had to be really non-judgmental because my brother's gay, and you know, little kids call each other gay when they're trying to make fun of each other. And so it just taught me to, like, never judge, because me and my brother were really close, and he was, like, one of my best friends growing up. So I can tell that you're, like, really non-judgmental, too. And that's, like, a big requirement to be my friend, because, like I said, I don't really judge. And I can tell you don't either, which makes you awesome. And I mean that even though I'm trying to get in your pants. You must have driven your last boyfriends crazy. Just tell. Non-judgmental. Very important frame. Next. Doesn't care about what people think. This one, again, we're going to frame her as. So we're going to use a bait, hook, reel, release rapport. The bait, are you like the type of person who really cares a lot about what other people think? Her, she says no in any form. Even if she's like, well, you know, I care what my friends think, you can still say cool. And you reel her in. You know, that's super important to me. Like, I don't have time for worrying about what other people think about how I live my life. Like, I'm totally glad you are the same way. And then release, we will never get along, actually. We're probably too similar. And then rapport, have you ever done something you thought was going to blow up and then realized, like, nobody cared? And again, if she doesn't answer that, you tell your own story. So you might say, yeah, like, one time, you know, tell any embarrassing story at this point and just act like nobody cared. You know, I'll be like, one time I thought I saw my ex at the airport, and I, like, walked up behind her and, like, covered her eyes, and I swear to God, the woman screamed for security and they thought I was, like, an Al-Qaeda member. Horrible. Right? Okay. So that's doesn't care what people think. Let's go through it one more time without kind of commentary. So bait. Are you the type of person that, like, really cares a lot about what people think? She says no. That's super important to me. Like, I am too busy living my life to worry about what people think about it. Like, I'm really glad you're the same way. Though, I can already tell, like, we're not going to get along. We're, like, way too similar. Have you ever done anything you thought was going to, like, people were going to, like, totally care about and then found out nobody cared? Yeah, like with me, and answer the question. Next. Trust herself. Obviously, this is going to be one that you're going to frame her as, and you're going to use a compliment, statement of intent, release. Now here, trust herself is like one of the later frames. It's going to be one that you're going to start building around the time you're starting to lower the energy level and get ready to get her out of the bar or club or back to your place. So I could say something like, you know, because you're so independent, I bet that you're the kind of person who really trusts herself. Like, I can tell, once you make a decision, you, like, don't even worry about it anymore. You just always think that you're going to do the right thing. And that's really, really cool, because I think so many people doubt themselves and are insecure. And then you have bands like Blink-182 that, like, sing about how it's cool to be insecure. But the fact that you're not is really, really, really hot. And I mean that even though I think you're incredibly sexy. Too bad you suck. Okay? So compliment, statement of intent, release. All right? And here we build on the second frame. So because you're so independent, I bet you're the kind of person who really trusts herself. Like, once you make a decision, you don't worry about it anymore. That is really awesome because so many people are so insecure. And the fact that you're not is really refreshing. And I mean that even though I think you are incredibly sexy. Too bad you suck. Trust yourself. Moving on. Has a good sense for people. So again, another really important one, because if she has a good sense for people and she's meeting you and she likes you, then she probably is right and you're probably not going to murder her if she goes home with you. So we're going to frame her with a bait, hook, reel, release, rapport. The bait, are you an intuitive person? Hook, she says yes. Reel, that's so important. I could tell you have a good sense for people. You're probably able to figure out what people are like pretty quickly. I like that because I'm pretty much the same way. Like, people either love me or hate me right away, and I either love or hate people right away. That's awesome that we, like, have that in common. You are such a pain in the ass, though. Why are you so similar? Have you ever met someone and known you were going to know them forever? All right, so there we have our bait. Are you an intuitive person? Hook, yes. Reel, that's so important. I can tell you have a good sense for people. You're probably able to figure that out, what people are like, really quickly. And I like that because I'm like that, too. I either hate someone or love them in the first 30 seconds. You were such a pain in the ass. Why are you so similar to me? Release and rapport. Have you ever met someone and known you were going to know them forever? Next one, makes good decisions. Again, this is another same night lay frame, because once she's decisive and she makes these good decisions, then she's going to feel good about it and she's not going to have as much buyer's remorse. That's going to help when she's in the cab with you or you're getting in her car and there's downtime, because she's the type of girl who makes good decisions. She wouldn't do something stupid. Right? And again, we're going to use our old friend, the compliment, statement of intent, release. Compliment, you're like a really smart girl. I can tell you make good decisions and don't get yourself into all sorts of trouble like these other girls in San Diego. Statement of intent, and I mean that even though I want to do horribly dirty things from you. Release, get away from me. So here we're complimenting her for being really smart and making good decisions that don't get herself into trouble, right? If she's making a decision to go home with me, she knows she's not the type of girl who makes decisions to get herself into trouble. And the statement of intent, they've escalated now because we're getting closer to the pull. So, and I mean that even though I want to do horribly dirty things to you. And the release, get away from me. Okay, so that was the last frame. Let's now recap what we've learned on this call before we give you some exercises to do in the next week before the next installment of the Seduction Roadmap. So we learned what sexual frames are. They're frames that define the interaction leading towards sex. They're things that define her, us, or myself, you, and allow you to make the underlying meaning, we're going to have sex because there's no obstacles or reasons not to. We learned the you, her, us model. Some frames are applied to ourselves using grounding stories, or, you know, just statements or metaphor stories. Some frames are applied to her. The majority of the frames are going to be applied to her. And some of them are applied to both of us, and those are the ones that build that chemistry and compatibility and the ability to build that really strong sexual connection. We learned about the four framing devices being the stories, force frames, bait hook, reel release, rapports, double binds. We went through all 14 of the frames with routines for each of them, the frames being her being adventurous, her being spontaneous, her being independent, her being sexually aggressive with someone she's attracted to, her being an emotional or physical type, us, the two of us, being good at keeping secrets, her being decisive, us, both of us, going for what we want, her being someone who doesn't get cock-blocked, us being two people who won't make things get weird, both of us being non-judgmental, her not caring about what her friends think, her trusting herself, and her having a good sense for people. And with those, we went through each of them with the corresponding routine, be it a story, a compliment, statement of intent, release, a double bind, or a bait hook, reel, release, rapport. So, Now, what I want to do is go on to the exercises. Exercise number one, I want you to pick out three separate sexual frames. Then I want you to write out three situations where you meet women or you want to meet women. And in those situations, I want you to write out how you would set those sexual frames, when you would set them, and what you would have to do first in order to be able to set these sexual frames. And that's due 1 week from today. Now, for the rest of the time you're in the Seduction Roadmap program, the next four calls, I want you to repeat those every week for three more of the sexual frames until you've done all 14. Now you'll have an idea of what the process looks like intellectually. And you have to understand things intellectually before you can actually go out and apply them and see where your intellectual understanding differs from your actual real-world abilities. And that's not the last exercise. We have one more exercise for you here. And that exercise is I want you to go through the sexual frames, all 14 of them, and try to figure out how many of the framing devices could be used to set them. In this call, I only taught you one way to set each sexual frame. As you grow and learn with the Seduction Roadmap and sexual framing, you'll learn how to use all four mechanisms to set sexual frames. So instead of using a bait hook reel release to set the frame that a girl's adventurous, you would try to set it as a compliment statement of intent release, or as a double bind, or as a story. And for every one of those, you're going to try to create four routines for each sexual frame. And as you experiment with this and grow with this, it's going to teach you to internalize and understand the mechanisms that make these powerful, powerful frames work. As you do that, I encourage you to start experimenting also when you're in field with different ways to set these frames. Don't just be limited to the routines that I taught you on this course, when there's a whole nother depth to this when you start to think about it and start to examine those four framing devices, which are the underlying mechanisms for how we get people to accept frames of a sexual nature. So I know we went through a ton of information on this call. So as always, if you have questions, email them to sinn@sinsofattraction.com. Also, I've been getting some testimonials from you guys from the great results guys are already having with the Seduction Roadmap. So I want to encourage you guys to keep sending those in, because when we market the product in a little bit, it's going to be really important for us to have the people who are getting amazing results out there who haven't written in yet to tell us about how awesome the Seduction Roadmap has been and how much it's helped your real-world results. So please send any success stories, because it helps us out a lot, and it just I like to hear them because it makes me feel like this stuff is not going to vain and that you guys are using the material and getting the really amazing results that the Seduction Roadmap gets for guys who follow it. So thank you for listening today, and we're going to be back next time with the fourth installment of the Seduction Roadmap training program, which is all about unleashing a woman's sexual side. So you're not going to want to miss that. Until next time, I'm John Sinn, and I hope all of you guys apply this material to great success.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.